No, we
with his poor form now.
With his poor form, you think you went and matched your keeper?
It's your boy Shea Wolo. And you're listening to
Old Gecko Podcast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Bald Gecko Podcast. I'm Maive, and today it's another episode of Bald Gecko Narrated. And today we're going to be talking about the history of football. How has football evolved? Where did it start from? So first of all, football as we know it today started in the 19th century in England. That's the football that we're all popular with. But before this, the first record of football is far back as 3,000 years ago. And this was a team game that involved the ball, and the ball was made out of rock. Yes, rock. You can imagine playing a rock, but this was the first team game that involved using a ball. Apart from the Mesoamericans, there were also mentions of it starting in China, and it was called Kuju. Kuju, which means kickball, and this was in the Han Dynasty between the 2nd to the 3rd century. Mesoamerican people, first of all, were the first to use rubber, a ball made of rubber, because they had rubber accessible to them. So Kuju was modified by the Japanese and they called their own Kemari. So before we move to other parts, another pointer or another distinction about the Mediterranean was that football was like a ritual, and not just any ritual. So anytime two teams play the game of football, the losing team usually have their captain sacrificed. That's very funny, because I'm trying to imagine in my head, like, okay, Liverpool are playing Chelsea, and then Liverpool lose, and then the captain is Steven Gerrard, and then we now have to sacrifice Steven Gerrard to the gods. Crazy stuff. So apart from the Chinese Kuju and then the Japanese, another record of football is far back as Greece. So in Greece, it was called Hepastrom, and football was a game that was about strategy for them. It was about their teams, their army, their military, using it to train. And then it was very, very physical, and it was recorded to be a game whereby there is a line that separates both teams, and then there is another line behind the two teams. Now, to win in their own era, they pass the ball around, and then the first team to go over the line behind them will lose. Now, the Romans picked football from Greece, and then they made it their own too, and then football entered into the Roman Empire. In their own football, it was a soft ball that they used to hold with their hands, and then they just threw it over their heads, and that was all. It was about throwing the ball over your head and then crossing over a line, and it was very physical, up to the extent that there was a time that somebody broke their leg. Thank God. It's not like legs are not still being broken these days, but at least there are so many cautions or so many rules in place to avoid ease of breaking legs. Then it was a normal thing. Once you play ball, leg broken, bam. Also, the point to note was that they used to use 12 to 14 players, so it was not like now that we use 11 players. Now, away from China, away from Japan copying them, away from Greece and then Romans taking it, the record says that the Romans were the ones who took football to England. Yes, they took it to England. But the English believe football is their own because they were the first to put the rules to it. And yes, they've earned the right to own that bragging right. So football as we know it today started in 1863, and it began with the English laying down the Football Association rules far back as 1863. Now, in England then, football just used to be a game that they play within lawns, and then it was known as mob football, and it would be between two communities, and so many people were involved. There was no rule to the number of people involved, and all it was about getting the ball and then running as far as you can with the ball to cross over a line. Now, it was so physical then that people actually died. Yes, that one is even worse. It was not just broken legs. It was mob football, very passionate and very everything, until 1863, when a man who is known as the father of football, his name is Ebenezer Marley, he decided that this football that we're playing should have rules. Before he did this, there were rules such as the Cambridge rules and the Sheffield rules in England. And then there were always disagreements because these are two different places in England. So people would be like, in Cambridge rule, this will not be a goal. In Sheffield rule, this will. And nobody actually had one set down rule until Ebenezer Marley came on. And then he wrote a letter to the newspaper in the year 1863 on October 26, saying that there should be a rule to this football. There should be 11 players. The suggestion then, rules now came in. And then everybody now agreed that, oh, this is how we'll go forward. And in that period, they set up 12 clubs that will always play football between themselves. And not only that, it was codified for the very, very first time. So, in the rules that they set up, they were the first to determine, let it be 90 minutes, let there be 45 minutes in between, let there be halftime. They were the first to draw the lines of how the pitch should be. They were the first to even draw a 10-yard box. But then, goalkeepers were still allowed to handle the ball outside their box. But over time, football evolved, and then they were like, oh, you can't cross this line. And then as far as we now know it, that there's now VAR to check every bit of the rule, and now machines or technology has made it easy to eliminate errors in the game. Before we get to this, let's go back to when FIFA was established. So FIFA was established in 1904, which is 41 years after the FA. If you remember, I said 1863. So FA was far back as before FIFA, even though nowadays it seems like, oh, FIFA has all the say in football and all, but it was not always about FIFA. It was always about the English, who sat down, who set the rule, who already had clubs playing this game, who already had teams. That is, England was always playing Scotland. They were the first two teams to ever have matches together, and they were doing it for years before FIFA came up. So in 1883, the first international tournament took place, and it included four teams. That was England, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales. And football then was you can tell, these are British teams. It was like a British phenomenon. But it gradually spread to other European countries. And then the first international match that is known occurred in 1867 in Argentina. And you would think that, okay, this game was Argentina against England. No, it was English nationals in Argentina that actually played England. So easily you can see that as the English people were migrating away from their countries to different countries, they were taking this beautiful game of football with them. And then it was easy to see the spread, just like it easily spread, just like gospel spreads, just like every other thing spreads. But the key point in all of this is that football started far back as the 3rd, 2nd century. There were always balls, there were just different rules to it. But the people who codified it and made it a sport, made it what it is the English, and we cannot take it from them. That's like a brief summary. Now let's go on.
You've been listening to Ball Gecko Podcast.
In the year 1908, football for the first time was included as an official sport in the Olympic Games. That was the first time that it became an Olympic thing. So there have been other sports before football. Football was not like the first. There was tennis, there were track and field, there was baseball and all these other sports. They were all already still doing all of this in the Olympics, but it took until 1908 before football joined the Olympics. Not only this, another record is that it took until the 1880s before there was the first black player to ever play football. Maybe because it was in Britain, there were other sports then that already had black people playing. But because it was a high school thing, and then we know how it was not like black people started going to school early enough. So because it was a school sport, it was usually white people playing football all the time. It took until 1880s before Andrew Watson became the first black player to ever play football. I read some things about this guy sometime in the past about how fantastic he was. It was a very beautiful player, and he was the first to actually face racism firsthand. But he set an example for everybody to follow. Even though we are still fighting the racism issue, it's still good to know that, okay, 1880s, this is like before FIFA, before black men started playing football. So it gives us a kind of fighting chance, kind of. So FIFA were the first to now gather other countries together and say, okay, let's set up a World Cup from all the English teams. Because before, when England came in, because it was a British thing, it was usually Europeans playing each other. So the first World Cup that was set up, England did not partake in it. They were like, football is our thing, so we don't need to join anybody. So even though it started far back as 1904, that is FIFA, it took until 1950s before England decided to play in the first World Cup. And they didn't look back after them. So, a quick dive in into fans. Did you know that the first set of fans to conjure up songs for their football teams were the British people? So they were the first. That's why these days there are so many songs, the Manchester United song, the Chelsea songs. And why did it happen this way? Because traditionally, you know, football started with people working in plants and then people going to pubs. So these songs usually happen around their working environment, around pubs, and then it gains popularity from them. Now, the South Americans were the first to bring in carnival style and firecrackers and fireworks. That's like, if you notice, really, if you really notice, if you watch Italian games, even far back as then, you always see a flare, you always see fire, you always see the way they dress. And this beauty is what makes football colorful. In as much as, okay, you guys codified it, other countries still have a way of, okay, we brought this, you still bring singing, you still bring that, and then it just makes it our game. So football was ingrained in all our bloods. We're just not aware of it, but we knew, okay, this is what we wanted to do. And then over the years, it kept evolving, kept getting more colorful, kept getting more beautiful, and it is the game it is. Today, the biggest competition is the Champions League. And it's beautiful to know that the Champions League has been existing since 1992. And then the European Cup also, which was the former one before it became Champions League. The European Cup started in 1955 to 1991. That's what they used to call a European Cup, between clubs playing each other in different countries in Europe. But it became Champions League in 1992. Today, there are over 2,011 national associations included in FIFA. So it's not just FIFA that is deciding all the rules. There are 211. Another proof of how big football is getting is that when football started, it was 32 teams in 1934 that first ever played to be involved in a World Cup. As of 2014, over 200 countries compete. Even in the African Nations Cup this year, we had more teams competing, and we had some new teams like Comoros coming for the first time. To tell you how, as big as football seems, it is still expanding. Now, football has also been separated into different countries with the Confederation Africaine de Football, CAF, with the AFC, the Asian Football Federation, with the Union Association Espionnaires de Football, UEFA, the National Confederation of the North, the Central America, the CONCACAF, the OFC, Oceanic Football Confederation, and the CONMEBOL. Gets the whole cogs moving together as one part. So all these nations now play. You know, it's easier to fight a battle in the country where it is. So if we want to get this thing to be popular, we start country by country. That's why they say the best agent of change is you. Start with you. So they set up an African one. Oh, you guys do this in Africa. They set up the European one. You guys do this in Europe. They set up the Asian one. And then there is now a body that works and makes everything work together. With this, definitely we know that football is a global sport. And without comparison, is the biggest in the planet. All this history is just to let you know that, okay, football was first documented to start in Kuju. In summary, I'm trying to summarize this, but the truth is that football existed in all our bloods from the onset. We always knew that, oh, there is a ball that we want to use. That's why, you know, there are several balls. There's basketball, there's rugby, there's tennis, there's handball. They've always been balls, but the lord of the using of balls is football. And the people who codified it is the English. And of course, the first person to document something down is the owner. And massive respect to them, because the rules that they put, the efforts that they put in to get the rules to work, is the reason why the sport is still big. And then they were so brilliant that what they've done, or what they did, is still the structure that we are all working around. It's still the main structure. We are just trying to make it better. So massive respect to our English guys out there. You guys are brilliant. And it's beautiful that right now, or these days, the EPL is now the biggest league. It's never used to be like this. And definitely we know that to still keep moving around, because that's how football is. Everybody takes it and then they run crazy with it. We wonder whoever country is going to take it next. But right now that it's still in England and they are the biggest, and they are the fathers and they are the founders. I did mention this. So when football started, the Scottish were the first to pass around. The England people, for them, it was about getting the ball and then running as far as you can with the ball. So I think it is why Alex Ferguson is a boss. his forefathers were the first people to say, oh, let's pass the ball around. So shout out to all Man U fans out there, even though I'm a Chelsea fan. And I want to end this by saying a quote from David Gobert's book, The Ball is Round. That's the name of the book, The Ball is Round. And this quote, I like it. It's so powerful. So he tried to summarize what football is, and I just want to end with it. So in his own words, it offers the spotlight for individual brilliance while releasing the defiance and heart of collective endeavor. It has stage tragedy and comedy, epic and pantomime, unsophisticated music hall and inaccessible experimental performances. It does imperious triumph, lucky escapes, impossible comebacks and stubborn stalemates. It captures the brilliance of unpredictability, the uncertainty of the human heart and human skill, of improvisation and chance. I like how, even though there are some big words in all of this, but I can easily relate to everything he's saying, from the fact that he said there's comedy, it is epic, there's pantomime, the unsophisticated music halls from the fans, the inaccessible experimental performances, everybody using different skills, the unpredictability of football, anybody can win, the uncertainty, we never know, see Nigeria just bounced out and we thought we were going to win, the human heart, how much heart is in the game, the human skill, how people are getting their own skill and different skills are coming up, skills that you think, oh, this skill is gone, somebody does it like Lamela did the Rabona and then he won the goal of the year, this Rabona that has been since, and we just keep bringing it back. It's like going around in circles, and that's the beauty of when something is classic, it still remains, it maintains its originality. And this is why I love football, and to know that we didn't start it, our forefathers have been playing it, people have died playing this and then we are still here, still passionate, still crazy about it. It just speaks so much volume and so much passion that football carries, and I'm very sure you share that passion too. So have a wonderful day and bless.
That was Ball Gecko Podcast. For more content, please follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube at Ball Gecko. Also check out our website at www.ballgecko.com.